Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bradfo Show.
That's my open?
That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford.
That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradfo Show. That's delicious.
I just asked Stephen Wright if he's ever been on the Bradfo Show before, and the response was a resounding, I don't think so. You would remember it, right?
Yeah, I think so. I would hope so.
Well, anyway, we had Stephen Wright here. We're happy to have him, and off to a very good start this year. He's as a relief pitcher, and, you know, Stephen, one of the things is, like, when we were talking to Cora after Monday's game, he admitted, he's like, I didn't know how I was going to use him. I didn't know what was going to happen. We knew you were out of options. We knew you were coming back healthy. When you came back, we were like, I don't know how this is going to work.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, for me, is just trying to miss in a year and a half, you know, and then coming with a new staff. I mean, for me, I just wanted to make sure when I came back I was able to compete. You know, so far, you know, being in the bullpen has worked out. I'm not foreign to it. So it wasn't like I'm uncomfortable doing it, because I've done it in the past. And I'm just happy to be able to get the ball and just try to go out there and compete.
But it's one thing to compete. Like, when you were competing and when you were awesome, you were making all-star teams, you were a starting pitcher. And I would imagine at some point you would like to get to that. Right, that would be fair.
I mean, I did to me, Rod. Honestly, it doesn't matter for me. I've always been pretty open, whether starting or relieving. Like, I just want to try to go out there and help the team win on, you know, whenever I get an opportunity to get the ball. If it's starting, great. You know, if it's out of the bullpen, that's fine. You know, I don't really have a preference.
And you mean that? It's not a politically correct answer.
No, I just say really doesn't matter. I mean, you know, for me, it's like I'm in the big leagues. I just want to play. You know, and so it all. Obviously, the different roles got different mentalities, you know. Like, when you're a starter, you know, you have, you know, 4 days in between to work on your craft. And then, you know, you have the ability to kind of take your time to get warmed up. As a bullpen, you got to be ready to go every day. So there's plus and minuses to both. But at the end of the day, I'm in the big leagues and I'm pitching for the Red Sox. So, I mean, I'm happy.
Well, so I asked this Pedroia the other day, down in Pawtucket, days before he came back. And he said, listen, I'm not going to worry about the small stuff anymore. This whole thing has given me a new perspective on exactly what you're talking about. Is that fair? I mean, like, it's one thing to have a new perspective about I like to pitch and I like to be on the mound, but has this given you a new perspective of, like, this, oh my goodness, this is pretty awesome?
Yeah, definitely, man. You start to take things for granted when you're out here every day, and you know, the moment I hurt my shoulder was kind of when reality set in that it can be over that fast.
But even then you probably were like, okay, you know, I'm cruising. I'll be cruising probably in another couple of weeks.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be fine. And then it just never got better. And then when it finally got better, then I hurt my knee. You know, and then so every time I went out last year trying to pitch, I was hurt. And it wasn't feeling good. So it was one of those, like, man, can I actually ever pitch here again? And then when I had the knee surgery and then trying to come back, it's like, dude, every time you walk, it hurts. It's like it's a constant reminder that, you know, you're injured, and it's like, and then you're not good. And so finally, to be able to come out here and compete, it definitely gives you a different perspective on how blessed we are to be able to do this and how lucky we are to be able to come back from such a significant injury.
By the way, I have to remind myself. My wife actually said this. So I was driving in, like, do you understand how lucky you are to come to Fenway Park to work? I'm like, not really. No.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, like, I never forget how lucky I am, because, you know, there was a moment where I was going to be done before I started messing around with the knuckleball. And so that's one thing I never take for granted. But, you know, you start to lose, you know, for me, it lost, like, that energy to keep working, because it's like, dude, it's like I would work really hard and then I'd have a setback on my knee. And so it's like I can't work as hard as I want to. So now it's not so much about
you know, not working hard, it's working smarter. You know, it's taking days off, you know, when you can, of not doing anything impactful. You know, it's like, you know, obviously it's different for Pedroia because he's an everyday player, but it's when you get those opportunities of a day off, like, you got to utilize them to really give that knee some time to heal. And so it's just a different way of going about, you know, your day-to-day business.
When you're talking about, so physically, when you're trying to work your way back, and you have the shoulder thing, and that took a long time, then you have the new thing, and that took a long time, what was the point where, you, like you just said, like, man, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if it's going to work. I thought I could, but I don't know if this is going to work out.
I would say for me, it was probably right around when I was getting close to, like, the 10, 11, 12-month mark, like those 3 months towards the end, because it's like I was feeling good, I was throwing, but it didn't feel quite right.
Was that in spring training?
Yeah.
I saw you limping.
Yeah, yeah, it was spring training. But that's the thing, is like one day I'd come in, I'm like, man, I'm not far away. And then 2 days later, I can barely walk. And so it's like it got to the point where it's like, man, like I don't know if I want to live the rest of my life like this, you know, trying to get every, you know, you work your butt off, you know, for 4 straight days to throw one day, and then you can't walk. And it's like, you got to the point where I was like, man, I just don't know if I can do this, you know. But I, you know, getting a drain and getting the PRP shots and really just trusting the medical staff that it's just another hurdle, and talking to the doctor that did the surgery, and he says that's where the majority of the issues that athletes have coming back is right before you get ready to play. He goes, because it's still not going to feel quite right. He goes, it's just a matter of can it get it good enough to where you can actually go out and compete. And eventually it got to that point.
Did you think about quitting?
No, I never thought about quitting. I just didn't know how long I could do it to the point where...
Because you talked about, like, getting... Whenever someone brings up getting older and quality of life and things like that, that's the first question that comes to my mind.
Yeah, no, I never thought about quitting. I just didn't know if it was going to be, you know, sooner rather than later, you know. Like, I knew eventually I was going to be okay, but it's just getting to the point where it's frustrating, to where it's like, man, I don't know if I can just keep grinding out day after day. And so it definitely got to the point where I'm like, man, like, I don't know how much longer after this year I would do if my knee didn't get better.
So when was the turning point?
Probably about a month ago.
Really? That soon, huh?
Yeah. It was just like overnight.
What do you remember, where that like moment that was it was down in Fort Myers?
It was down in Fort Myers. I did a rehab start in Buffalo. Yeah, for the
park. So it was after your first rehab start.
Yeah, that was my first rehab start. It was my second rehab start, to where it felt pretty good. I'm like, wow, like I might be able to do this. And then, yeah, so then I was able to kind of go from there.
That's pretty crazy. Like,
dude, it was literally overnight almost.
Really? They try to tell you what's coming, but I would imagine if they knew something like that was coming, they would have said, hey, by the way, in 11 or 12 months, they're going to be like, or whatever it is, it's going to be overnight, it's going to feel better.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it still doesn't feel normal, but I don't know if it'll ever feel normal because it was such a big, evasive knee surgery, you know. But they said, like, that's pretty much how it happens, like, with everybody, you know. Like, you know, Pedroia was lucky enough to have his quicker.
But he's shorter.
He's shorter, yeah, and he doesn't weigh as much. And, but that's the thing. It's like it's the same type of surgery, but it's different surgeries because it all depends on where the lesion was, how long you had it, how you did it. There's a lot of other factors other than just, oh, they had the same surgery. Why is one taking 8 months and one took 13 months? It's like, well, it's a different type of surgery, even though it's the same kind of surgery, if that makes any sense. Like, it's not a typical, like, ACL, you go in there, you fix it. It's like, I mean, it's a big invasive surgery to go in there and replace cartilage with somebody else's.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it took a little time.
I remember seeing you in the offseason, like, yeah, it's good, you know, like, because it's a process, you know. Everything's good, then boom, everything's not good.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, going back to the pinch running thing, I want to go back to the pinch running. Have you ever watched that? Because I actually hadn't watched it in forever. Like, have you gone back and watched the video of that?
I've never seen the video. I don't really have any desire to.
Really?
I mean, it was a freak thing, man. Like, I didn't even do anything.
No, but that's why I implored you to watch the video, because I'm like,
I knew I didn't do anything. Like, I literally, it's just, but like, you know, I had thrown like a full side. I threw a 50 pitch pin. I ran gashes that day. I did shoulder program. I lifted upper and lower body. And then 3 hours later, I'm diving back into the bag. So, my shoulder was just tired. Like, it was fatigued. I'd just thrown two nights before nine innings. It was August, so I had already had thrown a bunch of innings. And so it was just my shoulder was fatigued. And so, like, I knew when I dove back, it was a clean dive back. But it's just my shoulder was just tired. It just kind of moved it enough to where it just pissed some things off, and it just rest is all it did.
And I like that, pissed some things off.
It did. Whatever it was that it got mad, it was pissed.
Did you ever think about, and like, you got, you know, a lot of time between then and now, like, you were on a run. Obviously, you were on a run. You ever think about, well, if I just kept pitching, if that didn't happen, where I would be right now? You're in a good spot, because as we identified, you're playing professional baseball for the Red Sox. You know, my knee would have flared up at some point. Have you ever thought about that?
No, I don't think about that. I feel like everything happens for a reason. You know, maybe it was to avoid something more serious, you know. So I feel like if you sit there and say, what if, I mean, you start thinking about too much of the past, and you try to concentrate on, you know, the future, and try to, you know, how can I prepare myself for, you know, the next day or the next outing or whatever the part, you know, in your life you're at. But, you know, I feel like you can't get caught up in the past like that, especially something that's as dramatic as that, because it's like, you know, who knows what if I would have made my next start and blew my shoulder out from throwing. You know, so it's like, for me, I think of the positives. It's like, you know, it's just, maybe it's avoiding something. I mean, I don't know.
But you're in a good place now. You've got through the injuries. You got through, obviously, the stuff in the off season, and it seems like you've come out on the other side of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was probably the darkest year and a half I've ever had, both for professionally and family-wise. You know, but everything's in the past now, you know, and everything right now is good. And now I'm just, you know, looking forward to the rest of the season and the rest of the future.
When you, now going back to, this is a weird segue, awkward one, but you go to the bullpen, you get ready for a game. How many pitches, like, you've done this before, you've relieved before. Is it now, as we sit here, is it sort of second nature, or is it like, I'm still working through this? As a relief pitcher,
I think it's a little bit of both, for sure. But, you know, it's one of those things. The mentality is like second nature for me, because I've been a reliever more than I've been a starter previous to the knuckleball. And then even when every time I've been up here, 16 was the first time I was just a starter. And so it's not foreign to me. It's just more about the unknown is obviously the knee. You know, it's like when I'm throwing, I haven't gone back-to-back yet, but if that comes, like, how is that going to respond?
Do you have to, like, limber up and things like that more than you tip might because of it?
You know, it's one of those things is I don't know if I have to, but I do anyways. It's one of those, like, I don't want to sit back and wait and just try to sit there for six innings and then just hop up and go. So it's like, you know, they've been really good about being communicated as far as, like, if I'm up or down, if I'm hot, if I'm not. You know, if there's, you know, for me, like, I just want to know if there's a 1% chance I'm going to pitch, I'm going to prepare myself, you know. And so, but, if, you know, there's times where they'll be like, you're not pitching, so don't even, you know, just relax. And so then I'll just sit there and hang out. But usually there's a bike down there, you know, and it depends on what stadium we're at. You know, we have bands, we have other ways to kind of keep you moving around, keep your body active. I just do that just because it helps me stay prepared.
You talked to Wake, because Wake was, you know, he morphed into a closer.
Yeah, I talked to him. I seen him yesterday for the first time since being up here, and we talk a little bit about getting loose and, you know, what to focus on and what to, you know, not get too caught up in, and just ways to kind of get your body ready to go, so then when you get your eight pitches out here, you're ready to just to fire them in there.
You know, because I was thinking about this after watching you Monday and at what Alex said too. You guys have more quote-unquote long men. You basically have your entire depth starters in the bullpen right now, right?
Yeah, we do. I mean, and it's a good thing, and it could be a bad thing, you know, if you whichever way you want to look at it.
But I look at it this way, and I don't know if I'm full of hooey or not, but I'm like, this could be something. We could be onto something here in how bullpens are built. Because okay, we've seen how valuable already that you are, that Hector has been, that Brian has been. And, I mean, I'm not even talking about starters taken out early in the game, whether it's a couple innings at the end to save. Like, I kind of feel like if I was building a team, maybe I might start thinking about these a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely different, man. It's one of those things that I don't think teams, you know, right now, or when you look at bullpens, is everybody's throwing 100. You know, you see guys that are one-inning guys, a lot of one-inning guys. Very few teams have guys that can go multiple innings. And, you know, we got three guys. I mean, even Heater can go multiple innings. Barnes has gone multiple innings. The only guy that really hasn't done it much is Kimbrel. You know, Joe is a starter, so, you know, he's capable of going multiple innings. You know, obviously you want to try to limit that with those guys because those are your setup guys. But when you got me, BJ, and Velasquez, who were all starters last year, you know, spring training, so it's definitely a different way to...
But it saves the other guy. I mean, this is the thing. It saves... If you look at it, it saves the other guy. So you don't have, like, the Kellys or the Barnes or the Hembrys having to go back-to-back as much.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the goal. You know, for us, like, if those guys are going back-to-back, that means that we're winning. You know, that means that, you know...
But I would put you in if you were, you know, if in a close game, I would say, okay, you know, instead of just getting the seventh, you guys, you're pitching well enough, get the seventh and eighth. And I don't think that's the mentality.
No, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, that part is, you know, I know for us, is we just try to go out there and, you know, whenever it's our time to throw, and we just try to put up as many zeros as we can. You know, if that time does come, then, yeah, we're ready for it. But, you know, those guys have been doing such a good job holding down the seventh, eighth, and ninth that it's like if there's an opportunity and those guys are fresh, they're going to get the ball. But if they're not, we're ready to take the ball as well.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to revolutionize the bullpen and really.
You're overthinking it.
I'm going to get there. I'm not really there. I'm going to get there.
You're trying to reinvent the wheel.
Well, like, you, there's no other team that has three, like, quote-unquote long guys in their bullpen.
Yeah.
Everyone was crapping on the ideas of long guys for the last few years.
Yeah, I mean...
You're not buying it.
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't look at the talk shows and stuff about that because...
Well, they're not talking about long guys, but I'm just thinking about it.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's different, you know? It's just, I think when you, with this, the way this game's been, it's such an old school game that the moment you do something different, it, like, all of a sudden it causes an uproar, like, that's not going to work. Well, it's like, if it hasn't never been done, how do you know it's not going to work? You know, that's the question I always have. If it's never been done, you can't say it's not going to work because sometimes it might. How are you going to know? If you don't at least give it a shot.
See? That's what I'm talking about, right? Tell me, like, obviously shifts are the first thing that jump to mind. Is there anything else you're like, yeah, you know what? Baseball should do more of that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like that.
That's a good question.
Well, like
off the top of my head, I can't think of it.
No, but I like the way you're thinking. Like another terrible segue, Mike Greenwell. You know Mike Greenwell.
Love Greeny. Love him.
Did you see him when he was here?
Oh, I saw him, and I gave him a lot of crap. I felt bad for him because he had to face Pedro right after giving up a bomb. So I told him, I was like, whatever he had left, he was going to get it all in that next at bat.
So tell real quick, how do you know Mike Greenwell? Because the average listener wouldn't be saying, oh, of course Stephen Wright knows Mike Greenwell. How do you know him?
I've known Mike Greenwell since 2009. His son, Bo Greenwell, we were playing together with the Indians. And so ever since then, then when I got traded, they live in Fort Myers, and so every probably once, twice a week, I go out to their house and we have dinner, hang out. He's got a big farm out there, and I'm best friends with his son, Bo, and I'm really good friends with Garrett, too, his other brother, and so we always take the kids out there. They have horses, and they own that family fun park, so we go down there and take the kids to ride go-karts, and, you know, they're good people, man, so we always, whenever they come up here, we go out to dinner and stuff.
You two, you probably didn't see him play, though, right? I mean, without you two, the help of you two.
I mean, yeah, I'd have to. I mean, I'm sure I did. I mean, I've seen, like, the years that he played. I've watched the Red Sox. And when they,
he was good.
When they come to Angel Stadium, yeah, you look at his numbers. His numbers are retarded.
Ask him about being robbed of the MVP. Has he ever talked?
MVP and the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, there you go. So I guess that came up at the dinner table.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I don't blame him, dude. I mean, when you got guys that are cheating, I mean, it's hard to look back. I mean, especially in that era because those guys were, most of the guys were doing that. And, you know, whether it was, you know, steroids or greenies or something else. I mean, but, you know, for him, like, you know, he never did it, you know. And you could tell his body was the same from start to finish. And you look at a guy like Canseco, where, you know, he was a toothpick, and then all of a sudden he's freaking jacked.
Well, yeah, he basically admitted it.
Yeah, obviously he came out later and admitted, you know, and the same thing with...
But when he's accepting the MVP award, he's not admitting it.
No.
So I always end these with give me the question that you want to ask me, because I want to be fair and balanced, and it can be as I'm stalling, because I can give you the heads up that I'm like that I'm allowing this to happen. When we did it with Mookie Betts last year, he asked me about the Dodgers roster, which was a terrible question. And this year he did a he asked me how the Celtics are going to stop LeBron James, which now in hindsight was a terrible question.
Yeah.
And I said, you can ask anything. You can ask about how I got so skinny, awakened 180 weight loss. You already know this. anything you want.
I don't know. Let's see. What do you got on all the teams that sold off all their players?
For baseball?
Yeah, flooded the market.
I think that teams are undervaluing, they're valuing calling up their own guys more. They're accepting that more than in years past. And that's one of the many, many reasons the whole free agent mess this year. But I think that the ownership and, to a certain extent, the fan base are saying, they look at the Houstons of the world and whatever, and they think, okay, you can do it that way. But it's almost become an excuse, you know? Do you agree?
I think so too. I mean, when you look at a market who had so many guys going into spring training that had no jobs, that were all stars, Cy Young guys, or, you know, candidates and MVP, you know, type caliber players going in and signing 1-year deals. It's like, but then you got a team like the Pirates who trade Gerrit Cole to Houston. And it's like, it's great for Houston, but now that takes one spot, two teams out of the picture for a free agent, because you got Pittsburgh who's trading everybody. Then you got Houston, who now they got Gerrit Cole, who's obviously a dominant pitcher, so now they don't need to get a starter. And I just think it's a different way of doing a business, but, you know, it's part of the game, I guess. You know, it's the way the game's evolved. Obviously, it sucks for guys trying to get jobs, you know, but it's just, it's interesting to hear a view from a media guy on that aspect of the
question. Yeah, I might not know what I'm talking about, but that's my opinion. Do you have any questions about my job?
No, I don't believe the media.
No, that's fair.
No, that's fair. No, that's fair.
I don't get caught up in it, because, you know, that's the thing when you think about media, whether it's baseball, whether it's political, or no matter what it is, it's people always got to remember it's still somebody's opinion. You know, whether it's a good opinion or not, it's still somebody's opinion. So for me, like, I don't look at articles and stuff like that, because it's just somebody's opinion. Sometimes they got good opinions, sometimes they got bad opinions.
Is it Boston? So you came into Boston, you know, a little later, like you come in, like one of the things that I've always go back to, the players have a lot of good points when it comes to the media in Boston. But one of the things that sort of pisses me off is sort of like, guy comes in and you guys talk or whatever, players talk, like, oh, there's this perception, you know, this perception. And then instead of like learning about how guys are or how it is, it's like, this is how it is. Like, can you see where I'm saying coming from?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, I think that, you know, Boston definitely gets a bad rep when it comes to media. And some of it is for good reasons, and some of it isn't, you know. And I feel like for me, the way I view it is the people that are around us every day, like, I've gotten to know most of them. You know, not on a personal level like you. But for me, it's like, you know, that's for me, I'm a personal guy. Like, I'm a friendly guy. Like, you know, I know everybody's got a job to do. Like, if I suck, like, I know I suck that day. Like, you know, I think the biggest thing is, like, with all the sports radio and, like, you know, all the other third-party type bloggers and stuff that, you know, makes it hard. But I think the biggest thing is that you just can't get caught up in it, because it is still their opinion. Whether it is a talk show, whether it's still their opinion, like, their opinions don't really have that much value to what I do on a day-to-day basis. Like, I know what I got to do to be successful. I know when I suck. I know when I'm doing good. Like, so it's like, you know, but that's fine when you're talking about that. But talking about, you know, should they trade me or trade this guy? Like, it's just their opinion. Like, and if you get too caught up into that, it's going to be tough because Boston is such a media frenzy. And so if you do get caught up in what people are saying, I mean, it's going to be tough, you know. And then if you go to a smaller market team, they just don't have the following. Mm-hmm. So it's like, wouldn't you rather be on a team that cares, with fans that care, with the media that care? You know, sometimes it's freaking overboard when it comes to how crazy some people can be. But it's at the same time, like, I'd much rather have that, because it's like they want us to win just as much as we want to win. And they expect us to win just as much as we expect us to win. And so for me, like, I take that with, you know, with pride, you know. It's like, shit, they care. You know, if they didn't care, like, how fun would that be just to go to work every day? It's like, dude, it's like, it'd just be boring, like, going out there just to collect a paycheck, you know? And it's like, don't get me wrong, the money is good, but it's like, you know,
You go to other parks, you can go to any of the parks. It's one of the things that baffles me, like, some of those teams, the places are like that. Yeah. Like, whether you go there and you're looking around like, this sucks, or they come here and like, this is good, people care.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that you come here on, you know, there's a reason why there's fans that, you know, in April where it's 30 degrees outside and the stadium's pretty much packed. It's because they care, you know. It's a fun place to play. I mean, it's obviously, it's an iconic stadium, but it's an iconic town. It's a team, baseball, basketball, football. I mean, you go to any sports, you know. I went to Game 7 of the Bruins against the Maple Leafs. That place was rocking. I went to the Celtics game this past couple days ago for Game 7. That place was rocking. I mean, they freaking care. And so it's like, I'd much rather play in a city that cares versus a city that doesn't, because then it's just going through the motions.
Well, I have an opinion. My opinion of this podcast was awesome. So, thanks for joining me, Steve. Good job.
Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.